Amen. Hallelujah.
Y'all act like something happening in here. I don't see no bodies up here. Amen. My God. Supposed to be happy today. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm happy today. I'm happy in Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God for the opportunity. I thank God for pastor and co-pastor being able to get away and get a little rest. Amen. Amen. Away from us. Amen. Amen. Amen, somebody. Amen. Folk don't believe stuff like that is true. They look all crazy when you say stuff like that, but folks is tough. Amen. They want to get away from y'all too. Amen. And they love the pastor and co-pastor loves us, but they, you know, every once in a while, amen, they need a break too. Amen. We give honor to the Spirit of God, to pastor and co-pastor in the absence, to all of you who are assembled here today. We thank God for being able to just preach your word. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you and we magnify you on today. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak a word for the Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would crucify my flesh, that you would hide me behind a curtain so that folks might hear your word and that they might not see me. But, Lord, we pray, oh God, that you would have your way in this service. Bless me, oh Lord, as I prepare to speak a word for the Lord. Lord, I pray that the meditation of my mouth and the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, you are our strength and you are our redeemer. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. I thought that we would revisit a passage of scripture that I had preached from previously over at Kirkbride a while ago. And I thought it appropriate for today. Amen. Because so many times we are fighting. I'm sorry. Put this mic up. It's up as far as it can go. Okay. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. We're always fighting against things and opposition and folks that come up against us. In other words, we always have haters that are around. No matter what happens, no matter what you do, no matter what you set out to do, there's always people that's around that don't think that things can happen the way God said that they can happen. I might not get an amen this morning, but I know it's the truth. You fighting people right now that God told you to do some things and there are folks in your own family that are standing there telling you, you ain't going to be able to do that. You ain't going to be able to accomplish that thing that you set out to do. But you ain't got it like that. You ain't built like that. There's always haters around telling you all kinds of stuff that will try to bring you down, that will try to stop you, that will try to discourage you from doing what the Lord said do. Amen, somebody. There are a whole lot, I found that not only in your family that folks are that way, your friends are that way too. I found that over at Kirkbride, that there are a lot of people who are trying to get their healing on, they're trying to get their deliverance on, they're trying to get off of drugs and alcohol, and their friends are telling them, man, you don't need no rehabilitation. You don't need no rehabilitation. Oh, man, just go in the house and stay for a couple of days. Matter of fact, here, take this with you while you're going. Haters. I hate haters. I hate haters because let me tell you something about haters. Haters ain't got nothing, and they don't want you to have nothing.
That's how you can tell a hater. A hater ain't got nothing. They don't want you to have nothing. They don't want your mama to have nothing. They don't want your. They don't want nobody in your family to have nothing. They just hateful.
Lord have mercy, Jesus. Haters, I want to preach to you this morning from the subject, just because of them. Just because of them. In the 11th chapter of the book of John, we find that Christ, it's the story of Christ raising Lazarus. Now, when we get to the 11th chapter of John, the Jews hate him. Amen, somebody. The Jews are seeking to stone him whenever they find him. Lord have mercy. You see, Jesus had performed at this point in the ministry. They had begun to hate Jesus, like I said. And there were 7 attempts on his life at that point. 7 attempts at that point to kill him by the Jews now. Now Jesus was a Jew. And the Jews sought to kill him. You know what? Your own people, your own folks, your own kinfolk will try to kill you just because you follow in the Word of God. You go to church every Sunday. You make Bible study. You be talking about the Lord. And your own family, Lord have mercy, Jesus, will try to kill you just because you follow in Christ. How sick and twisted is that? Lord have mercy, Jesus. So now, by this time, there were 7 attempts to kill Jesus by the Jews. Now, the scene here is changing. The scene changes from hatred and rejection to an unmistakable witness of the glory of Christ. See, there's a shift, Lord have mercy, there's a shift going on in the body of Christ. And if you realize it and recognize it, that you'll see this shift taking place. There are people that are stopped, they're going to stop. They're going to have to stop hating on you. They're going to have to stop hating on you because of what you stand for and who you stand for. They're going to have, because the Bible says no weapon. See, there's so much stuff going on in my mind. Lord, have mercy. The Bible says no weapon. See, first of all, he said, I made the waster. I made the destroyer. Everybody, the blacksmith, I made him. All of those swords, I made the swords. All of the chains and the whips, I made that stuff. But even though I fashioned that stuff, even though I made that stuff, no weapon. Let me go over on this side. Maybe you'll hear me on this side. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. You understand what I'm saying? So no matter what people do to you, they're going to have to stop hating on you because there ain't nothing they can do about it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, see, the scene is starting to change. All the rejection and hate and hatred could not dim his glory as displayed through this miracle. This was a miracle of all miracles. Now, there were 3 things that this miracle did for Jesus. Now, follow me if you can. You know what? I don't like when people say that. And I apologize because this is a word church. And I know you can follow me. So just follow with me right now. This miracle did 3 things for Jesus. Number one, it pointed to his deity. Number two, it strengthened the faith of the disciples. All right? And number 3, it led directly to the cross. Now, Jesus was facing the cross at this point. He was only a couple days away from the cross. And here it is that this miracle comes about. Now, folks need to see some signs. You know, how many of you need to see signs? How many of you are from Missouri? If the truth were to be told, everybody would be raising their hand. Amen. I'm raising my hand. Sometimes I need to see a sign. Y'all ain't going to tell the truth this morning. I can see that right now. But I need to see signs sometimes. I need to see some proof sometimes, especially in this day and age. You tell me something. I'm not going to take that word. I'm not going to take your word for it. The Bible says prove all. See, I got to take it to the Bible. The Bible says to prove all things. It's not just me talking. The Bible says to prove all things. You got to go. If pastor says something that you don't understand, you need to go and talk to pastor about that thing. You need to say, pastor, I don't understand it. You got to explain it to me. Prove it. In John's gospel,
There are six miracles that were recorded and that have been presented. Number one, water was turned into wine in chapter 2. There was the healing of the nobleman's son in chapter 4. In chapter 5, there was the restoring of the impotent man. In chapter 6, there was the feeding of 5,000, and that in and of itself was a big miracle because, first of all, you had a kid, a little lad, that had a little kid's lunch. Now, if Jesus took my lunch, he might be able to feed the 5,000. But Jesus took a little kid's lunch, and the miracle about that, they were in that area, they fished for three types of fish: the mushed, the barbo, and the sardine. Now, the mushed and the barbo were big fish, scaly fish. They were huge fish. And the sardines, you know what a sardine is. A sardine is little. And the loaves of bread that he fed them with were big as biscuits. Now, he took 5 biscuits and 2 sardines and fed 5,000 people. That was a miracle in and of itself. So now in chapter 6 also, you had Jesus walking on the water. And the sixth miracle that happened was curing the blind man in chapter 9. Now, Jesus had raised 2 other folks in the book of Luke. He raised the nobleman's son, and he raised somebody else from the dead. But that happened as soon as they died. You understand what I'm saying? They died, Jesus raised them up. This miracle was more powerful because the other two resurrections, as I said, was done immediately after they died. Lazarus was raised 4 days after being dead in the grave. Amen, somebody. So as we take a look at the scripture, verse 1 says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair." Wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was sick. Now, my wife and I were talking about this thing, and she was telling me about how Jesus was acquainted with the family already. Now, Jesus loved Lazarus, no doubt, but she was used to dealing with Mary and Martha's issues. The family had issues, and Jesus was there already dealing with their issues, so he knew the family already. You understand what I'm saying? Familiarity breeds contempt sometimes. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. It says, therefore, now watch this. It says, therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Now watch this. I find it amazing how family, okay, family can try to use the leverage that they have to get you to come and deal with their stuff on an immediate basis. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Look at the language. She said, Lord,
therefore, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.
The language wasn't that Jesus, Lazarus is sick. They tried to play on Jesus' sympathy. Because, see, you realize they had issues. Folks with issues will try to throw their issues all around the place. So she said, Lord, the one whom you love. I figured, Martha, if I say that, he'll come that much quicker. See, your family will try to trick you into getting stuff done because they know you. Oh, that's just little Kevin. Don't worry about him. If I say some biscuits in the oven, he'll come real quick. If I say there's some ribs on the grill, he'll be here before the ribs get done. You understand what I'm talking about. Family will try to.
Therefore, the sisters sent to him saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick."
And I love Jesus' response. Jesus heard that, and he said, first of all, it's amazing that geographically, that it took one full day
just for the message to get to him. I need you to hold on to that one full day just for the message to get to, because geographically he was about 18 miles away from where they were. Okay, so now it says, Jesus answered and said, let me get it right. Jesus, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. No matter what you see, here's what I see. What you see ain't always what's going to happen. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's a word in and of itself. The situation that's in front of you ain't always a matter of life and death. You got folks who wanna make you do things just because it's urgent. They think it's urgent to them. But Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. I don't care what you see. I don't care what happened. I know what I'm getting ready to do. So this sickness ain't, Lord have mercy, this sickness is not unto death. The reason why Lazarus died is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. That's why Lazarus died. You see the end of something. I see the Lord have mercy, Jesus. You see the end of one life cycle. I see the beginning of another life cycle. Ooh, that's good. That's good, that's good, that's good. I like that.
Verse number 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Loved a whole bunch of them. You know you can love somebody from 18 miles away. Ooh, Lord have mercy. A long distance love, amen. So verse 6 says, so when he heard that he was sick,
he kept on doing what he was doing. See, because Jesus, in Jesus' mind, he's saying, you know what? I'm going to make sure that folks see what's happening and that God gets the glory out of this situation. This will be one of the last things that I do, and I need to get folks closer. I need to get folks to come closer to Jesus. I need to get folks to come closer to me. I need them to know that I am the Son of the living God. So that's why Lazarus is dead.
It says, then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. They were already there, apparently. So the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again?
Sometimes you've got to face your enemies.
Oh, my God. Sometimes you've got to stand up to your enemies and face them. Too often times we run away from the enemy. We run away from the things that are in front of us. We run away from problems that we need to face in order that we might let it go. Because if you don't face it, it's still going to be there. You just running around it. You're trying to backdoor that thing, and you know you need to face it head on. You know you need to kick in the front door. You going there again? Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? I'm not scared of the daylight. I am the light. So I'm not scared to go back to Judea, because I'm not afraid of what they're going to do. I came into the world that they might have light. I am the light. So it says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I go that I might wake him up. I'm going that I can wake Lazarus up. Now that blew the disciples' minds, because they said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. He's just chilling. He's just asleep. So, however, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus just said, you know what? I need to tell y'all straight up. Lazarus dead, y'all. You've been with me all this time, and you still don't understand some things. It's amazing how folks come to church
10, 15, 20, 30 years and still don't understand some things. Now, I've been going to church for a long time, and there are some things that I don't understand. But there are some things I do understand. And if I'm following closely to somebody, you would expect that they, you know, get some things in them. You understand what I'm saying? The man at the pool of Bethesda was there for 38 years. You would expect that after 38 years, you'd get a little bit closer to the pool. 38 years, you...
The 36th year. Amen. 27th year. You right there. And check this out. By the 15th year, maybe I'll do a swan dive in the pool. You understand what I'm saying? As soon as I sink, the water is troubled. Whether he troubled the water or not, I'm still getting, Lord have mercy. I'm still in the water.
Lord have mercy. So now he says, because the light is not in him. Verse 11 says, these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, I may go to wake him. Disciples have said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. Jesus told them, you know what, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, now I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you might believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him. Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow, I'm going to fast forward a little bit to just read the story to familiarize with you until I get to where I'm going. It says, then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we might die with him. Thomas' words reflect loyal devotion and at the same time pessimism over the fact that they would probably all die. You see what I'm saying? Now, the Jews were seeking to stone Jesus. So now, they didn't even believe that he was even going to get back to Judea. Say, oh, we might as well go with him and die too, because he getting ready to die. They getting ready to stone him, and you know them stones don't know nobody's name. Them stones ain't got no name on them, so they're going to kill us too. We might as well all go and die. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. See, that was his plan. Jesus is good to set people up like that. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. But Mary was still in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, now watch this. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Jesus said unto her, your brother will rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he'll rise in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to him, you still didn't get it. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He said, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, whom is come into the world. And when she said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister. See, you see the clandestine stuff going on, and she secretly called. You see how folks are, your family, your own family, whispering behind your back, go see if you can do something. Because when I say, he just told me some more, I'm the resurrection stuff. You need to go in there and talk. We need to get Lazarus up out that grave. Bro. But go in there and talk to him. Get yourself up. When she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary and saying to her sister, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Now, don't say in the scripture that Jesus said, go get Mary. Don't say that. Do you see it? I'm sorry. Point it out to me if you, because don't say nothing between that and that.
And she said, go call your sister Martha, Mary.
She said, Jesus called for you. Says, now, Jesus, as soon as she had heard that, she quickly rose and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying she is going to the tomb to weep there. See, folks want to see you just all sad and broke down and all out of sorts. They follow, and they're going to cry right behind. You ever see you ever be at a funeral? And especially the guy from Nick's funeral home, the little short guy, I call him the town crier. You already sad. And he walking behind you talking about, ah, Lord, yeah, yeah, Lord. And he's just going on, and you listening to that, and you just crying like he got his diamonds waving all in the air. And that's what these people were. They were professional criers. They just want to be sad all the time. And I don't need nobody like that behind me. I need folks encouraging me. I need folks that's going to tell me that everything is going to be all right. I don't need you walking behind me crying all the time and saying all kind of sad stuff behind me. Get away from me, haters. Then when Mary came where Jesus was, saw him, she fell down at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now notice the similarities between her and what Martha said and did. Both of them talking to Jesus like Jesus can't do nothing. If you had been here, Kevin, everything would have been all right. If you had been here, Deacon Tony, everything would have been all right. We wouldn't have had to go through this. Reverend Robin, if you had been here, everything would have been fine. Sister True, you know if you had been here. It would have been straight like that. Jesus, if you had been here, we wouldn't have had to go through this stuff. 4 days my brother been dead, and you stayed where you were. I sent you a message. Didn't you get? I know my message got to you because it came back signed, sealed, and delivered. And here you are, you had the nerve to stay where you were, but talking to Jesus like that. That's how some of us are. Lord, I need a blessing. And Jesus stays there for 4 more days. And here you are talking to Jesus like, Jesus, if you had been there, my light bill wouldn't have got cut off. My lights wouldn't have got cut off. If you had been there, the repo man wouldn't have snuck up in my block at 3 o'clock in the morning and took my whip. If you hadn't been here, Lord, my water bill would have been still. I could have took a shower today. But because you wasn't there, Jesus. When I call you, Jesus, you better get there right away. That's how some of us talk to Jesus. I know I'm right. You ain't got to say amen. I know I'm right. Therefore, it says, then when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell down at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Man, I'm Jesus, the Son of the living God. And yet you still don't believe that I can do what I said I can do. That hurt Jesus. That hurt Jesus, but Jesus is going for the big one here. It says, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and he said, all right,
I'm through with all the niceties. I'm through with all this stuff. Where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept.
They thought Jesus was weeping because he was sad. Jesus was weeping because of all them people standing by that don't believe.
Jesus was grieved. Jesus is grieving at the church today because the church today don't believe that Jesus is who he said he is. Jesus is sad. Jesus is weeping. Jesus is perplexed. You know what? I don't believe it. Sometimes the things that we say and the things that we want and the things that we pull on God for is not, first of all, it ain't even biblical. It ain't even in the Word. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And folks take that to the hilt. And they forget the rest of the scripture. The rest of the scripture says, when you ask amiss. In other words, you ask for stuff you don't even need. You ask for stuff that ain't going to do you no good. You ask for stuff that's going to get you in trouble. Lord, that's like a junkie asking for money.
Okay. Okay.
Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. See how he loved him. And some of them said, see, his verse 37 blew my mind. It was like, in all of this, you still got all these haters. They standing around and they talking all kind of smack. They said, could not this man who opened up the eye, he opened up the eyes of the blind. He raised up this one. He fed 5,000 folks with 2 sardines and 5 biscuits. He did all of this stuff. And look what it said. Also, he kept this. Also, have kept this man from dying. Couldn't he kept this man from dying? He did all of this stuff. Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laid against this. Jesus said, "Take away the stone. I'm getting ready to show you something." Especially the haters. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, maybe you will believe the scripture. Verse 39 said, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, she said to him, Lord, by this time, there is a stench. He's stinking now, for he's been there for 4 days. We sent you a message that took 1 full day. The scripture says that he stayed there 2 more days. Now, his journey from there to where they were was another day. Lord, have mercy. That was 4 days. You understand what I'm saying? He said, you've been away from us for 4 days. When we sent you message, it was the perfect time for you to come and to heal our brother Lazarus. Why didn't you come then? Now he's thinking. Isn't it funny how some of us stink today? That's kind of hard to say. But we stink sometimes. Oh, my God, Lord, have mercy. I'm coming over here to you, Deacon Tony. Sometimes, Deacon Tony, I think. See, I'm about telling the truth today. I think sometimes because I don't do things like I should do. I don't pray like I should pray. I don't read the Word like I should read the Word. I don't give like I should give. So sometimes, Deacon Tony, I think. And if the truth were to be told, anybody who was thinking can stand on their feet and admit to God, I think sometimes. And look, everybody's sitting down. I guess nobody thinks. I guess nobody in here thinks. That's okay. Lord, I'm sorry. Because I think sometimes. I've been in this situation for so long. And I've called on you from way across where you were, and I know it took you 4 days to get here, but I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you that I could take care of this thing? Didn't I tell you that? Then they took away the stone from where the dead man was laying. And Jesus, at that point, started to pray. Now, Jesus, if Jesus started to pray, you know it's a situation that needs immediate attention. Jesus looked up and started praying to his Father. And the prayer was awesome. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I thank you that you have heard me, Father, and I know
that you always hear me.
Now here is, just for the haters, this prayer, I believe this, see the way I looked at it was, this prayer was for the haters. He said, but because of the haters that are standing by, I'm going to do this. Lazarus! Come on out. Just because of the haters that are standing by, God is going to do some things in your life. Just because of the haters that are standing by, that ministry that you said that was in you, God is going to birth it. Just because of the haters that are standing by, the ministry in this church is going to go from here to there. Just because of the haters in your life, you are going to get that house. Just because of the haters in your life, your family members are going to come to Christ. Just because of the haters that are in your life, things are going to start happening. Because tomorrow about this time, things are going to change. Because of the haters that's standing by. Lord have mercy. You got to realize that all them haters in your life don't want you to accomplish nothing. But Jesus said, I don't care how many haters are standing by you. I don't care how many people are against you. I don't care how many people are rooting for you to fail. Because of them, I'm going to do this thing.
And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died. Lord have mercy, Jesus. See, Lord, he who had died. Past tense. Lazarus was dead. And to prove he was dead, he was stinking. To further prove he was dead, he was wrapped up and mummified and was wrapped up in his grave clothes. And Jesus said, come forth. And he who had died came out. And when he had died, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, you know what? Loose. Loose that man and let him go. I don't care how many people are wrapped around you in hatred. I don't care how many situations are all up on you, crept up on you and messing you up. I don't care how many obstacles are in your way. I don't care how many barriers are in your way. You are going to overcome them by the blood of Jesus, because Jesus will say, Lazarus, come forth, and loose him and let him go. You see, the awesome thing about that is when Jesus says something, everything happens. Oh, Lord have mercy. When Jesus says, loose him and let him go, everything that has had you bound has got to let you go. It has no choice but to let you go. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At the name of Jesus, demons tremble. So Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Saints, I'm telling you today that if you would just believe in Jesus and his word, he will call your name from out of bondage. Bible says, be not entangled with that yoke of bondage again. Be not entangled. Loose him and let him go. Jesus went to the cross just so he could get those things loosed from our lives. He went to the cross for that purpose, to loose me. He had my name nailed to the cross. He had Tracy's name nailed to the cross. He had Raymond's name nailed to the cross. He had Sister Norma's name nailed to the cross. He had all of our names nailed to the cross. Said loose and let him go. God bless you. Amen.